Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. Now, I could preach a lot of sermons, a lot more sermons than what I preached on these verses. This will be the last one. We talked about humbling ourselves, prayer, seeking His face, and that secret ingredient, repentance. Then it talks about what He's going to do for us. Let's read 2 Chronicles. And you know, the more I read this and the more we understand it, the more powerful this message, this passage is. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be opened and mine ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. I want to give you a brief description of the nation today, spiritually speaking. We are spiritually devoid as a nation. Once upon a time, we could almost say that we were a Christian nation, that we followed the Ten Commandments. That was what our laws were based on. We knew that there were people, they did wrong, but they knew they were doing wrong. And today, it is do whatever you want to do. And there's no guilt because they have no conscience. They have not been taught that these things are wrong. People are turning from church. People are turning from God. They're anti-life. They have put life in the hands of doctors and men and politicians. Life is given from God and it is taken by God. This nation is morally decayed. If you do not believe me, then watch the news for just a few days. God is no longer an important part of our society. Trust me, I'm right. It's sad. What about our church? Our churches. They're dying. Many are ineffective. They've been powerless to change the hearts and the minds of men and women. I'll never forget. They were out doing miracles with Jesus, and all of a sudden they were trying to kill this one guy, and they couldn't do it. And they went back to Jesus. How come we can't do this? They were wondering how powerless they were. You know what he told them? If you just had the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you could move that mountain. We're not moving any mountains. Our churches are becoming ruts, and they're becoming stale. They've become more traditions than they have anything else. And let me tell you like this. We are not making a dent in the decay of this nation and in the hearts of people. The churches are becoming more carnal. Churches are becoming more interested in how to get blessed in this life than for salvation for the lost. It becomes all about us instead of our mission, which is all about them. And we're being led more by men than we are by God. What about men? What about you? What about men and women today? Well, I could talk about the sin. There's some great people out there, by the way. They live their lives great. There are some Christians who live their lives terribly, evilly, if you would. So I'm not going to categorize them good and bad people. I'm going to categorize them in two categories. That's the lost and the saved. That's the only two categories that matter in the end. The lost who are unknowing and the saved who are uncaring. Unfortunately, the saved have been eternalized to a point to where we forget about all the millions and billions of people who still need to come to know Jesus Christ. And they're going to, when they leave this life, they will come to face eternal death in hell. And churches today, and men and women, are uncaring. How can this change? Let me put it like this. Our nation can't change unless our churches change. Our churches can't change until we change. It starts with every man and woman, boy and girl that goes pews out here today and the one in the pulpit. We have to change. How can we change? Well, you might remember this. If you want to change, if you want your life to change, so this church can change, so this nation can eventually change, then you have to humble yourselves. You have to pray to God. You're going to have to seek His face. You're going to have to look at all of your life. Look in His direction instead of the world's direction. And then when you find yourself in front of Him and when you find Christ and you realize how inadequate and how sinful you are, then you're going to have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I need to change. And what does He say will happen if we do this? What does He say will happen? The first result is an upward result. He says that He will hear us. Does it seem like sometimes when you talk in life and you're talking but no one's listening? That you're not being heard? Have you ever prayed and you thought that God was not hearing you? Well, I can assure you that if you humble yourself and you bow down to pray before Him and you're seeking His face and you're willing to repent, He will hear you. It's a promise that He makes here. As a church and as a nation, we need to humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, repent of our sins, and then He says, I will hear you. And Isaiah 1, 15 through 18. He says, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourself. Make yourself clean. Put away the evil of all your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. And He says, come. Come. Now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He says, come, let us reason together. All right, you may find yourself in a position today that you can't be right with God. God doesn't turn His back on you. What does He say? Come. Let us reason together. He's not going to sit there, you're beyond hope. Get away from me, you sinner. No, He doesn't say that. What He says is, come. Let's reason this out. I can help you. I can help you. No matter what situation you're in, He says, I can help. You just got to come. Let's talk about it. I can help you. You're going to brokenness aside, and you don't want to talk about it. Can you help them? If you're praying to God, and you say, God, I'm praying, but I ain't got nothing to say. One thing, you hadn't humbled yourself. The other thing, you hadn't sought His face. Another thing, you haven't asked for. You're not ready to ask for forgiveness. After repentance. When revival comes, God's people confess and repent of their sins. There is no other way for revival to happen. We can talk about the evils of the world all we want to. We can talk about all the problems in the church. But what it comes down to is, are you dealing with your issues and your problems that God that only God can take care of? That's where it starts, is when you realize, when you call out to God, and you do it in humility, and you're looking for His will, not yours, and you're wanting to repent, He will hear you and answer it. As a result, when you confess and repent of your sins, God hears them and restores to them an awareness of His presence. And they can return to a place their prayers once again gets past the ceiling. That's the upward result of revival. We get to hear and talk with God once again. We get to walk in sweet communion with Him once again. But all these things are keeping us from, all these sins are keeping us from that. In Isaiah 59:12, "For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them." He will show it to us. He knows what our sins are. He knows where we need to be in our life. And until we get past that point where we say, "Now, I want a relationship with God, but I really don't want to get rid of all these sins," you got to. You'll never have a relationship with God until you get before Him and He points them out to you and you repent. Repent of them. Jeremiah 29. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you'll call upon me and go and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. And you'll seek me and find me. And when you search for me with all your heart, I know the thoughts that I think of you." What do you think God thinks of you? Are you ashamed to go before Him because to seek His face, to pray? Are you ashamed to because of your sins? Are you thinking He'll never listen to me? He don't care a thing about me? What does He say? Would you go back to the what did He say? "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." He's got a plan for each and every one of us. And these things in our lives are hindering those plans. In Zechariah 13:9, He says, "I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. Then they will call on my name, and I will answer them, and I will say, 'This is my people.' And each one will say, 'The Lord is my God.'" If you're a saved child of God here today, and you've had a relationship with Him, a saving relationship with Him, guess what? You are His people. And you know what He wants? He wants you to call upon Him. He wants you to, your heart and your mind to be right in order to call upon Him so you can think about something else besides your sins and your problems. He'll hear us. He'll hear us. The next result is this. And this is a great one. It's the inward result. God will forgive us. Isn't that the one thing that we need? Forgiveness. Have we ever been in a point in time in our lives where we felt like we've done something wrong to somebody and they won't forgive you? It's one of the most frustrating things in the world that no one will forgive you. And then after a while you say, "Oh, it's no use, it won't matter. if I forgive, he's not going to forgive me. Not so with God. Not only will he not heal, forgive, but he will forget. He will not hold it against you. He will not hold you accountable for it anymore. When he forgives, he forgives. The one thing that we need is forgiveness. And forgiveness is the absolution of a debt. It's the wiping away, the blotting out which is held against us. And only God can forgive when we humble ourselves and when we pray and seek His face and we turn from our wicked ways. There are lots of folks today who think that God will forgive just simply because I ask. And He will. Let me ask you something. In our hearts. Oh, let me do it this way. When you were a kid, or are a kid, when you were a kid, when you got in trouble, which I know y'all two never gets in trouble, right? But when you're in trouble, what's the word you say to try to get out of trouble? You know the words. I'm sorry. It wasn't you. That's used a lot too. Alex, that's used a lot. It wasn't me. Here, you come up here too. Do this. That's better. No. I'm sorry. And after a while, it just becomes a catch-all. And you don't really mean it. God looks upon your heart. And when He knows that you're broken, He knows that the sin has taken your life to a point where you can't go on no more. And that you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Help me. I need forgiveness. He'll forgive. And He'll wipe away those sins. I find myself saying sorry a lot, but I don't really mean it. I do mean it, sorry. See, I did it again. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. God will not forgive a rebellious heart. He will forgive a burdened heart. And when He forgives completely. There are no recriminations. There are no lingering guilt or stains. And when we go to Him sincerely seeking His forgiveness, we are granted a cleansing as white as snow. There are no, well, I forgive you, but I'll keep this over here and I'll bring it up later. It's gone. There are too many people today, Christians especially, are harboring guilt about things that they've done in life. A brokenness about them that's their fault. And yet they can't go on. They can't have a relationship with God because they won't come to Him and admit their sins and ask Him to forgive. Seems silly, doesn't it? When He's promised us all this. The outward result is this. What we see. And this is the one that I really think the one that touches me more than the rest of them. And that's God heals us. Doesn't mean all of our bodily functions, our extremities. It doesn't mean all of that. It can. But every one of us in some way here are broken. All of us in some way are grieving, hurting, emotionally held hostage. I mean, it goes on and on of the amount of broken things that are inside of us. And many times we put on the face of, oh, everything's just great. People that you would never imagine that are hurting right now because we're broken. Sin always hurts. It always inflicts pain and injury. Most of the things that we're broken about, we broke. It was our choices, our decisions, and we broke them. We broke ourselves. More often than not, the wounds run deep, deep down to our core. And it's a self-inflicted injury. We choose sin, and this brought upon ourselves the pain and anguish that comes along with it. Not always, sometimes it's someone else, but most of the time it's us. We're broken. In this society today, if you're broken, well, anybody got one of those nice, fancy, flat-screen TVs? If it breaks, what do we do with it? Throw it away. You know what we used to do with it? We used to take it to the repair shop and get it repaired. You know why? Because it was cheaper to do so than to buy a new one. But not so today. In this society, we want to throw away things that are not useful no more instead of trying to heal them. I will tell you something. There is not one person that is broken too much for God to heal. Not one. Not one. God can close those wounds. The Hebrew word in 2 Chronicles 7:14 is heal, means physician, healer of nations. He can heal us. We don't have to go around with those emotional issues, those problems in our lives. We don't have to go around as individuals. Our churches do not have to go around broken, as a broken vessel. God wants to heal our churches. And our nation does not have to reject God, but it can promote God once again. He can heal us. Now, this goes so deep with some that, you know, the emotional, the psychological scars, the sins in our lives, the addictions, the problems, it just goes on and on. You say, well, I don't have any of those problems. Oh, yeah, you do. You're just manifesting in a different way. You might not drink, or you might not do drugs or alcohol, but you may do it in some other way. Sometimes you may do it in a way that, you know, you think you're serving God. But those problems are still there. You still need to be healed. Because eventually, those things will show up in your life and cause you problems and issues. If you're broken, don't throw yourself away. Because the great physician can heal you. You go back. How can we change? Humble ourselves. Quit being so full of ourselves, thinking this world revolves around us, thinking that all of our problems are ours. Humble yourself before God, because one day you will stand before God, and I won't tell you why. You'll probably be on your knees. One day you'll be before God. And when you're before Him, there'll be no pride left. You'll realize just how much of a sinner you are and how inadequate you are before Him, and you will humble yourself. He wants you to do that in this life, before that day. He wants you to pray. That means that we have to communicate with Him. He wants us to talk to Him, to say, Lord, here I am. What is it you want for my life? He wants us to seek His face. He wants in our every part of our life, He wants us to say, God, what do you want for my life? And then when we sin, He wants us to repent. Do you know what repenting is? It's not saying I'm sorry. It actually means turn another direction. I'm walking this direction and I'm going the wrong path, and He says, turn around and come back this way. Repentance is actions, not words. You need to repent. And He'll hear you. He'll hear you. Then He'll forgive us. And then He'll heal us. And that's going to have to start with each and every one of us in this room today. And once that starts with one, it becomes a church deal. and then the church gets revived. And we begin to see hearts and lives change. The gospel of Jesus Christ is spread, and people are more concerned about that than they are anything else. And then as this goes out from this room and this building, and it goes out to this nation, this nation is not going to turn itself back over to God overnight, but it's going to be good. Just like you eat an elephant, one bite at a time. One soul at a time. And that's how revival begins. And God takes over from there, convicting the hearts and minds of those. This morning, I don't know what God has for you. I don't know your heart. I certainly don't know your sins and don't want to know it. I don't know what is standing between you and God. But I do know one thing: you need to humble yourself, you need to pray, and you need to seek His face, His counsel, His guidance, and you need to repent. And when we do that, then He can hear us. Then He'll forgive us. And the best part, He begins to heal us. I need to be healed. I can't continue to do the things that I've done in my life without repenting. Neither can you. So where does it start? Well, you humble yourself enough to come stand before Him. Not before us, but before Him. Wherever that may be. And say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've got sin in my life and I need to get rid of it. Number two, if you're a saved child, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't need revival. You need to be made alive for the first time. You need to ask Him into your heart and your life so that you'll have the hope of everlasting life. So as we stand this morning, let's all stand. When we prepare for this invitation, like I said, I don't know what God is dealing with you about. I have a feeling He is. I have a feeling that, just put it like this. If you're sitting here today and you're saying this message does not apply to me, it applies to you. It applies to you. Because you haven't humbled yourself enough to realize that you're broken. In God's eyes, you don't measure up. But He loves us anyway. And He offers to hear us, to forgive us, and offers to heal us. Man, would you get in that position so that He can do that for us? So as we sing this morning, I'm going to let the Spirit of God take care of the rest of your issues. Take care of what He needs to talk to you about. Would you respond to Him today? So as we sing.
Number 524.